So, I don't trust fast. In the spiritual awakening category, slow is real. Okay, slow is real. And real things take time. My experience is that the first 7 years of my recovery were very early years of my recovery. Dealing with absolutely basic issues like hygiene, self-esteem, being civil to blood relatives. Job stuff, like changing jobs, paying bills, just real basic stuff. And then right around 7, some other things fell into place and recovery continues. I do not, and again, in this motion, I don't think that spirituality or recovery are linear. You know, like timelines. Moving along, average is fine, always better, today is better than yesterday, always is. Progress is our most important product, you betcha. Who said that? You know, would you believe? Anyway, my experience is that it's not linear, but rather circular. And it's kind of a spiral, maybe even a helix, and it moves around, but I keep thinking I should have solved my problems with authority by now. This goes under the general category of I should be better by now. I really should be better by now. Authority, I hate them. I hate all of them. I hate anybody in charge. I think they stink. But I want them to love me. This creates a tension between us. Okay. So, and I'll be fine for a while. I mean, it's not an issue. I'm not overreacting to people in uniform. Church officials don't make me nuts. I can read things that come out of the Vatican and say, well, you know, who knows, really. Life is just fine, and then all of a sudden a gear gets put in and I begin overreacting to anyone in a uniform and anybody in authority and certain people who think they're in authority, and I just, as we say on the street, cop an attitude. Okay. Well, authority stuff is one of my major things. This will always be part of me. And I will be dealing with this my whole life. I don't get it solved so that I never have to deal with that again. I get to visit it on a regular basis. Authority stuff is here. I work through it and I say, whew, thought I almost never could get through that one. Well, I'm real well now. I'll give advice to everyone on how to get through stuff like this. And then all of a sudden, boom, 6 months later or 6 days later or 6 years later, bang! I hate them all again, and I'm carrying a gun and plotting homicide. It's not that I didn't work it through the first time. I get to go through it at a different angle this time. You see? This can make some of us very discouraged. Because didn't I work through sexual issues last year? Yeah. But last year, you got to work through the sexual issues of a 36-year-old, you know? This year, you get to work through the sexual issue of a 37-year-old, and it's different! You know? One of those things. Or, part of this circular stuff, family issues. I mean, and this is also, you know, our relationship with people. I'm just I finally was able to go home for Christmas, you know? Spent the evening with the folks. It was okay. Hey, I'm cured. This is wonderful. I was Santa. It was a great thing. The next Christmas comes along. You're a lunatic. You just want to go to the movies all day. And you respond, I thought I would be better by now. You know, well, some Christmases are up and some Christmases are down. Welcome to the group. You know, this is part of being flesh and blood. And these are issues that make up our life. God, relation to God, ourselves, other people, security, money, and power. In recovery, in my spiritual journey, these are the things I work with. There's a theory that says, again, if you're spiritual, you don't have bad days. Wrong. Spiritual people lose jobs. Spiritual people get sick. Spiritual people die. Spiritual people get divorced. I know folks who say, you know, well, I must not, I'm feeling lousy, I must not be practicing a program. Wrong. The program is what enables you to feel lousy and not drink. See, it's practical stuff. It's not this very naive sense, if I'm good, God will love me, and then I'll be rich, white, and thin. You know, that's just very small children think like that, you know? We get to grow up and find out that I can use my program even on the bad days, and especially on the bad days, and we can work through these things. Okay. So what's God's will look like? I want to end, and I'm going to end in about 4 minutes, so we can all go pee and do our things, smoke cigarettes. I have a couple of quick rules of thumb for God's will, and we'll pick this up again next Thursday night. But what does God's will look like? You know, I mean, are we supposed to wait for God to talk to us? Tom! Tom! See, now, that hasn't happened to me since I've gotten sober. When I've been ordained a priest for almost 10 years, and my first job in a parish, and I don't work in parishes, was in Hollywood, California, and our parish was on Sunset Boulevard between Highland and Vine, if you know the neighborhood. The big industries are narcotics, tourism, and prostitution, and that's just the choir. We're not even talking about the people on the street yet. Very crazy place. Lots of runaways, lots of shut-ins, lots of non-English speaking people with all kinds of different demands, new immigrants, runaways. When that man was governor of California, one of the things he did was let a lot of people out of mental institutions if they promised to take their medication. By the thousands! And they had little centers in large urban areas where you come and get your pills, and then, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, and you go on. Well, the problem with a lot of folks with mental and emotional disorder is that when you're feeling good, you don't take your medication. And then you start feeling really lousy. So in the parking, we had three such centers in our parish. We had the Archangel Michael lived in the parking lot. We had people showing up as the Virgin Mary or Jesus on a regular basis. It was just real weird. When someone came in and told me that they had just talked to God, but God had just talked to them, I would try to find out what medication they weren't taking. How does God communicate? I'm going to be real orthodox for a minute. Organized religious groups, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, basically agree that God speaks through three general areas. Number one is the scriptures, the Quran, the New Testament, the Jewish scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita. God speaks through the scriptures. That's one place. So if you want to kind of wrestle with God, look there. Number two, God speaks through other people. This is, everywhere from Mecca to the river Ganges, this is taught, especially at meetings. That's the footnote, but it's true. Number three, God speaks to us through nature, through the earth. There is nothing more holy than the earth. So if you're seeking God, look in one of those areas. You might find that one of them is just shut to you. Like, I don't find Scripture real easy to deal with. So I don't beat myself up over it. I go to other places where I can find God. And when I'm absolutely nuts and think that I am just this side of the bridge, I go to a meeting. Because there's going to be a newcomer with 92 hours off the needle who will tell me what I need to hear that will save my life that day. That's how God works. Or I'll go out and work with the soil. November was real bleak. I was nuts for about 10 days in a row, basically due to a good dose of hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And I didn't know what to do, and I felt awful. What I did is I got a whole bunch of tulip bulbs and I planted them in the earth. That was a spiritual act. You know, and I was out there, and a couple of today, and a couple are kind of poking up. See, that's really hopeful. You plant these withered, awful-looking things that taste bad in the earth. Something wonderful comes. We do lots of planting here. We do lots of nourishing. We do lots of fertilizing. So that the life that is inside of us, the seed that is inside of us, can grow. Last point. A meditation and a prayer. What to do if you haven't done it in a long, long time. One thing I do, because I don't like using words, and I don't like using books, I'll come out on this issue, and again, a controversial issue, and I'm the only one here that feels this way. I just can't use a 24-hour-a-day book. Makes me crazy. They quote St. Paul a lot, and I start the day with the resentment. So, I don't use it. Other people find it to be their absolute contact with God, and that's sensational. But the rule of thumb is, if it helps, use it. And if it doesn't help, don't use it. And if that book doesn't work, there are others that have different tones of voice and don't necessarily sound like your third grade religion teacher. You know? So look around. We get to shop and choose, you see? That's not the point. The last one. Meditation. Visualize that way, way, way down deep inside yourself is this tiny little seed. And for your meditation, for 3 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day or 8 minutes a day, nourish it. Love it. Hold it. Water it. Just let the sun beat on the soil that has that seed there. And when it's safe, that seed will perk out of the ground. I've seen this happen in my own meditation. I just watch the land and take care of it. All of a sudden, one day, there's this green shoot.